The Other Victims of the Clergy Sexual Abuse Crisis. This week's piece broadens the understanding of harm generated by clergy sexual abuse by focusing on the many people who become victims simply by crossing a predator's path. Through the case of Alicia Garza Martinez, a former professor at the Universidad de Monterrey, UDEM, the piece shows how informal power structures, often operated by lay Catholic elites, enforce silence, punish dissent, and protect predators long after crimes have occurred. It does so by redefining victimhood. Alongside survivors of abuse and their families, there exists a third category of victims: witnesses, educators, relatives, journalists, clergy, and even bishops or popes who challenge entrenched systems of complicity. These individuals are frequently targeted not through formal church processes, but via informal mechanisms, the so-called small armies of lay Catholic leaders, who issue de facto excommunications that isolate and destroy reputations without leaving official records. Alicia's story exemplifies this pattern. She was not abused by a priest, nor was she initially an activist. In the mid-1990s, she was a respected professor of English as a second language at UDEM, teaching upper-level students who had already passed TOEFL exams. Like many language instructors in Latin America at the time, she used mainstream U.S. publications such as Newsweek to help students improve reading, writing, and discussion skills. Her classes used stories on global current affairs to help them improve their command of a second language. In March 2002, Newsweek published a cover story summarizing and expanding original reporting by the Boston Globe on sexual abuse in the Archdiocese of Boston. The magazine was not conducting investigative journalism itself, nor was it focused on Mexico or the Legion of Christ. It was one story among many in a general interest weekly that also covered the Winter Olympics, the war in Afghanistan, and U.S. politics. Alicia had no control over the magazine's content and no reason to anticipate its focus. Nevertheless, the presence of that issue in her classroom triggered a backlash. A letter from concerned parents accused her of exposing students to inappropriate material. Behind the scenes, powerful lay figures connected to Marcial Maciel and the Legion of Christ intervened. Alicia was dismissed in the summer of 2003 without an academic tribunal, peer review, or opportunity to defend her syllabus or methods, even though she was a fully tenured professor and that year a finalist for UDEM's Pro Magistro Award, the university's highest teaching honor. The article situates Alicia's firing within a broader institutional context. UDEM, founded by multiple religious orders, became a strategic target for Maciel as he expanded the Legion's influence in northern Mexico. The Garza Medina brothers, key Catholic elites, played central roles in shaping the city of Monterrey's moral climate. One managed Legion finances, the other acted as Maciel's surrogate within UDEM, ensuring the campus remained a safe space for the Legion's interests. English, the piece argues, was welcomed as a tool of prestige and global branding, but treated as a threat when it carried independent journalism. The analysis extends beyond UDEM. Similar small armies appear across the Catholic world, especially on social media, where survivors and advocates face coordinated harassment. The article draws parallels with Argentina and with recent attacks on Pope Francis over liturgical reforms involving indigenous languages in Mexico. In those cases, lay networks again mobilized under the banner of orthodoxy to discipline bishops and challenge papal authority, forcing the Vatican to issue rare explanatory statements. Ultimately, the article argues that these informal enforcement mechanisms undermine official church commitments to transparency and accountability. Alicia's case demonstrates how excellence, professionalism, and good faith offer no protection when silence is the real requirement. Her story, repeated in other countries and institutions, reveals how victimization extends far beyond abuse itself, and how the clergy sexual abuse crisis continues to generate new victims through the suppression of truth.